from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Today we want to spend a few moments thinking about the fact that the kingdom of God is present in Christ for us. And the kingdom, its work, its reality, its blessings, and its gifts are here for anyone to partake of, despite the fact that many make excuses and prefer the things of the world. Nevertheless, Christ has come. Christ has redeemed us. Christ has given us new life in himself, and Christ promises that the eternal life, the kingdom of grace that we experience here and now, will have its full consummation in the coming kingdom of glory. Now, in the book of Isaiah, we learn that the kingdom of Christ, the messianic age, is often described as a feast, a celebration, a wonderful victory celebration. And so it says, on this mountain, the Lord of hosts shall make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wine on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wine on the lees well refined. What's he talking about? Is he talking about expensive wine and food? Well, yes, but no. He's describing the benefits and the blessings of the age of the Messiah in terms of a wonderful, rich, and fantastic feast, and that this will come. The Lord of hosts will make for all people a feast, and he will destroy on this mountain the covering cast over all people, the veil that is spread over all nations. What is this covering and this veil? He tells us in the next verse, he will swallow up death in victory. Jesus Christ, for our sake, has conquered death. We now have the promise that though we die, nevertheless we shall live. We live now through the grace given to us in holy baptism. We are spiritually alive. The Lord has popped on our light switch when we were in darkness before, and now we see. Now we have light. Now we are the blessed children of God through his work and his grace. And he will swallow up death in victory. And he will take the rebuke away from his people, from off all the earth, and he has promised it. All right, so this is what our lesson today focuses on. The kingdom of Christ will be like a feast. It will be a victorious celebration of the finished work of the Messiah and all of the benefits for us that accrue from it. All right? So, this is important. There's another passage in Isaiah 55. In Isaiah 55, we read these words. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Hearken diligently to me, and ye shall eat that which is good. Let your heart and your soul delight itself in fatness. All right, so here, what we see is a gracious invitation. Come, it's all for free. Come and take advantage of this bounty of the Lord. This is a description of the Messianic age. And this drink that we receive for free, and this bread that we buy without money and without price, this is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the ministry of the word and sacraments by which Jesus Christ himself nourishes us, feeds us, enlightens us, and empowers us so that we continue in the faith to the end and are saved. All right. Well, I got one more to share with you. One more. Bear with me. I know we won't go 45 minutes this time. All right? 2 Corinthians chapter 6. St. Paul says, "We then, as workers together with him, the apostles, as co-workers with Jesus, beseech you that you receive not the grace of God in vain." We beseech you, get in on this. Don't miss out on it. He says, "I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation, I have succored thee." That is a quotation of Isaiah 49. "Behold," Paul says, "now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." All right, so now we're ready to hear the gospel lesson for today. All right, now, so we, you and I, we are living in the age of grace. We are living in the kingdom of grace. We are the recipients of all the bounty, grace, mercy, and help that God has, and he has purchased and won it by the death of Jesus Christ, his son, and he has guaranteed it to us and assured us of it in that he raised him from the dead. And now, until the day that he returns to judge the living and the dead, we are under the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ. It's important for us to understand this. Now, Jesus is at a supper. A Sabbath supper at a Pharisee's house. The Pharisees are all glowering at him and keeping an eye on him, completely oblivious to the fact that Jesus is keeping an eye on them. All right? They just didn't know. Blind as bats, they didn't know that the Lord God incarnate was sitting in their very midst, and they hated him. They wanted nothing to do with him, but anyway, they're keeping an eye on him, and Jesus has an interchange with the Pharisees on several levels, but at the climax of it, somebody around the table pipes up and says this, and it's the verse preceding our gospel lesson. "Then one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things. He said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God." Now, however this man meant it, whether he meant it in a smug, self-righteous sense, or whether he meant it in a sincere and believing sense, we don't know. But what we do know is that what he says is true. Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Rightly understood, this is a statement that we can all say amen to. What a blessing it is to eat bread in the kingdom of God. That is to be nourished at the Lord's table, to be fortified in his grace and mercy, and to be made to stand firm in his promises no matter what. What a blessing it is to eat at the Lord's kingdom, in the Lord's kingdom. Now, there was a difference, however, between how the Pharisees understood the kingdom of God and how Jesus understands the kingdom of God. For the Pharisees, The great banquet in the kingdom of God happens after Judgment Day, when everybody who is risen from the dead joins the victory celebration over the bodies of the Gentiles scattered throughout the earth. And there is a great celebration of victory and conquering of the enemies of the people of Israel. So that's the idea, that the Messianic age will not happen until the end of time. And when it happens, it will be a celebration of victory over the heathen. All right? And the Messianic victory will be celebrated by those who are worthy to be a part of it by their works. Right? Now, Jesus, he has a different conception of the kingdom of God and of eating bread in the kingdom of God. Jesus understands that the kingdom of God is encapsulated in himself. His presence is the kingdom of God. His work is the work of the kingdom of God. His victory over sin, death, and the devil is the victory of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is at hand, over and over, John the Baptist said. What did he mean? He means that the Messiah is coming. He's just around the corner. He's even among you right now, but you don't recognize him. This is what is meant by this term, the kingdom of God is at hand. We have the blessings of the kingdom of God in the person and work of Jesus. And those who are baptized, those who are instructed in the word in the church of God, they are the ones who enjoy this wonderful supper. We are the ones who, by God's grace and mercy alone, eat bread in the kingdom of God. So let's first of all, in our text for today, rejoice in the fact that the kingdom of God is not just about a victory party at the end of the world, but that it is a victory, it is a celebration and a benefit that is brought right into the now for us here. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Now, in our text for today, Jesus tells a story. And he says, in response to this man's true statement, blessed are they that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God, Jesus says, all right, I'll tell you who they are, those blessed people that you're talking about. And he says, there was a certain man who made a great supper and invited many. And this is God, who in the Old Testament promised the Messiah, promised the coming kingdom, promised the heavenly banquet, and brought it to fulfillment by sending his son into the world to be its savior. You see, this is God. He prepared a great supper and invited many. Through the Old Testament word, many were invited. Many were longing for the coming of the Messiah. Right? So here is this picture of a certain man who made a great supper and invited many. And then he sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. John the Baptist, he preached, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Get ready, the Messiah is about to be revealed. And the Pharisees and the scribes and the lawyers, they all dismissed John as a bug-eating lunatic. All right? That's what they did with John the Baptist. They dismissed him, they despised him, They wouldn't come to his baptism, but the people did, and they would. All right? Then Jesus is revealed. Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. The Lord God Father says of his Son, who is coming out of the waters of John's baptism. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Jesus preached the kingdom of God. He preached this wonderful gospel invitation of grace. Get in on the feast. Get in on this wonderful, gracious thing, which is now. It is not only something for the future, although it is that. It is something that we receive and benefit from now in Christ through faith. So he sends his servants out, and the apostles did the same thing. They went forth preaching. So John, Jesus, and the apostles, the servants of the Lord who go forth preaching and inviting people to get in on the finished salvation of God in Christ. And notice the words, come, for all things are now ready. Everything has been accomplished. Everything has been done. The kingdom of God is yours as a free gift that has been bought and paid for in full. All of this by Christ Jesus. The problem with self-righteous people is they don't like that idea. They don't like the idea that everything that makes us members of the kingdom is a free gift. They must get credit for their works and their performance. And so it says here in our text that they all, with one consent, began to make excuses. Oh, please, have me excused. I just bought a piece of ground and I have to go inspect it. Please, excuse me. I love you, but I can't come to the great feast. I've got very important and very upright and just things to be involved in. Then the second one, he says, I just bought 5 yoke of oxen. By the way, if you can afford 5 yoke of oxen, you are rich, right? So I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I have to go and prove them. I have to test them out to see if they're as good as the seller claimed that they were. I'd love to be a part of your supper, but please excuse me. I have this very worthy excuse. I have important business to attend to, and so please excuse me from your supper. And then the third guy's kind of funny. It's almost like everybody knows what he means without saying anything. He doesn't beg for excuse or anything like that. He says, I've married a wife. I can't come. So brief, you know. But everybody goes, oh, yeah. Right? So everybody's got an excuse. And everybody's got a good excuse, right, in the eyes of the world. You know, making sure you didn't get cheated on property that you bought is a very worthy and proper thing to do. And testing out 5 yoke of oxen that you've just bought, you know, imagine getting a couple of John Deere tractors and having them delivered to your farm someplace and you don't get around to inspecting them for about 6 months, you know, that's kind of shoddy, right? So you want to make sure that you didn't get cheated, and this is a good and upright thing, it's a very wise thing, worldly wise, etc. And getting married is a blessing of God. Marriage is an institution which God created. And those who enter into marriage are blessed to be knowing that they are doing the will of God. Marriage is also in the Bible a picture of the relationship between Christ the King and his church, his bride. And so therefore marriage is not to be dismissed, taken lightly, treated as if it was just some kind of casual human arrangement, you know, the way people do it now, right? Marriage is a very serious thing. So when this guy said, I've just married a wife, I can't come, everybody immediately knew, well, you know, my goodness, right? So we have here people, they couldn't care less about the messianic banquet. They are unbelievers, but they want to be seen as upright, solid citizens who do the good and right thing. And so they mask over their hard and wicked hearts with a show of outward uprightness. You know, people don't, you know, it's like the devil. He doesn't appear with a pitchfork and a sharp tail. He appears as an angel of light. He always disguises himself as in sheep's clothing when he's inwardly a wolf. And so it is here. These people are hypocrites. They are wicked opponents of Jesus. They are plotting his death, but they cover it all over with a veneer of works righteousness. We've got important things to concern ourselves with. Thank you very much for the offer of the Messianic feast, but we've got important stuff to be doing, right? So the servant goes to the Lord and showed him these things. And what is the Lord's response? The householder's response is, that he is angry. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servants, everyone who begins in the faith and falls away from the faith puts themselves under the wrath of God. God doesn't inflict his wrath upon them. They put themselves, by their backsliding and their unbelief, they put themselves under the judgment of God and the wrath of God. But notice that Jesus still tells this story to the Pharisees. Why? Because he desires them to repent and get in on the blessing of the kingdom. So as long as we have life in this world, there is hope for us that we will repent, that we will come to the knowledge of the truth. That being said, however, it is true, all is not well with the soul of the backslider. To be in a fallen, backslidden condition is to be in a state in which we anger God and put ourselves under judgment. But how does God express his anger at the hypocrite, his anger at the works monger, his anger at the backslider who still wants to be seen as a good person? How does he express it? He says, all right, this is what you got to do. Go out quickly into the lanes and streets of the city and bring in here the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. Bring in the people that never dreamed that they would have an opportunity like this. Bring in those who are poor, that is, those who know that they have nothing to offer God. Bring in those who are maimed and halt, that is, those who have been damaged and hurt by the problems that we encounter in this life, in this world of fallenness and sin. None of us gets out of this world unscathed and unhurt by the fallen condition of the world and the people in it. And so we are all, to some degree, the walking wounded, you see? And so it says here, bring in those who know they have nothing to offer God, those who are hurt and damaged, and those who are blind, those who cannot see. Preach the gospel to them. Enlighten them with the gift of the Holy Spirit. Bring them in here. So the servant goes out and he does it. And he says, it is done as you have said, and still there's more room. And the master says, go out into the highways and the hedges. Right? Notice the extent now. First, it's go into the streets and lanes of the city. Now it's go out into the hinterlands. Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. Urge them insistently. Don't take no for an answer. Tell them that there's a wonderful banquet for them to be a part of and compel them to come in. This is a picture of you and me, right? You and me are those people sitting there in the hedges, sitting there along the highway, never dreaming that we had any kind of claim upon this wonderful blessing of God. And all of a sudden, the gospel of Jesus Christ gets a hold of us through some servant, through some means. The Lord breaks through to us in the gospel and says to us, come, and lo and behold, miracle of miracles, we get up and we come. That's the grace of God. This is the messianic banquet. We had no illusions about our own status and capabilities. We had no trust in our own wisdom. But when the word of God in Jesus Christ came to us, we were filled with faith, and he has kept us in this faith because we have been, since our baptism, eating bread in the kingdom of God in Jesus' name. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.